Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
One, because if you want to talk about the Word of God, we need to go to John 1. But I want to start out just to ask you, you know, everybody has a battle. And if you think you're the only one who's battling, it's like everyone has a battle. Just shake your head. Is there anyone who's not ever had a Christian battle? You've never had a battle. Life's been just a rose bed and you've just cruised. You got saved and you've been dancing on the rooftops, like, you know, singing on the tops of mountains, like Song of Music, you know, on the rooftops, like Mary Poppins. You've just been in this glorious, wonderful thing that I don't know where that is. It's not even in the Bible. You know, Jesus said, when storms come, not if they'll come. We all face things, but how do we face them? And no one's exempt from them, but you all have a life's mission and ministry. Everyone has one. There is no small mission or ministry, just small thinking. Everyone is important in the eyes of God, and he's equipped us to face every battle, and that's where I want to come from today. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, if you just read this, you just think, well, darkness doesn't comprehend. So have you ever, what do you think? Your first thought is, well, darkness doesn't figure it out. It doesn't understand. It's not what comprehend means. The comprehend is it's a compound word. And God spoke this word to me. And I'm like, I know this word. I've studied this Greek word. What is on this? So I've just been meditating on this for a while. And so I went back and did the word study back on this word comprehend it. And the word comprehend is a compound word. It means to take eagerly, to seize, possess. It means to apprehend, to attain, to come upon. It means to comprehend, to find, to obtain, perceive, and my favorite one, overtake. And we were joking around on those escalators in the airport, and we're like, I'm going to overtake you, because I think in Australia it says, you know, you overtake them. You don't pass people on the freeway, you overtake them. So I'm going to overtake you. You put your foot to the ground and you overtake things. Come on, is there anyone else who likes to hear? Is there no one else who likes to have a little gas flowing through the cylinders when you put your foot down? Come on now, somebody. All right, okay. I'm Daniel and I'm a speeder and I repent. I have an 8-cylinder and I drink a lot of gas in it. But I'm feeding the plants because they need what my truck, never mind. To comprehend is to conquer. It's to take dominion over. And the first part of this, it's a compound word. And the first part of this word, to comprehend, it means kata is the first part. And it means to dominate or to take control over something. And then lambano is the second part. And it's to seize or to get a hold of something. Together, this compound word. It's like watching NFL football. Come on, somebody. When the quarterback is in the hands of the lineman as he's getting thrown to the ground. And you're like, oh, and it's like, boof. That's what that word means. I got you in my grasp. It means to take a hold over and dominate you. And then the dance begins. Anybody there? Seems like game time. That's what it pictures. It's to tackle. It's to conquer. It's to put under one's power. What it's saying is that darkness can't sack the light. What if you were in the game and God spoke to you and he just said, hey, Hal, you don't lose the game if you don't quit. We win. And you're in the hands of them and you're like, throw me down, sucker. I'm going to get back up. I know I win. I will not quit. You need to quit. See, the devil wants you to quit and believe that somehow darkness has dominion over light. Darkness does not have dominion over light. Darkness cannot comprehend. It cannot overtake. Cannot put it in its control. It can't. And this is a beautiful picture in the Word of God, and it conveys the idea that darkness cannot put light under its dominion or under darkness's dominion or power. The only power is if you yield that power and you give that power like Eve gave away. Ephesians 5:8 says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Somebody amen. Just breathe. Whew. Whoa. And then he says, walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Walk as someone that darkness cannot dominate. Darkness cannot sack the light. Darkness cannot put me. Darkness could knock me down, but I'm going to get back up. You can knock me down, but I'm going to get back up. Look, when you made a decision to be a Christian, a child of the light, you were put in the center ring. Anybody ever put in the center ring? I was a fighter before I got, well, I was a fighter a little bit after I got saved, but that's all back there. I was put in the center ring before when everyone comes and it's like, oh, I was fighting the guy who was the son of the guy who, like a big wheel. He owned the studio and everyone knew and the whole studio's over there. I didn't know who the heck I was fighting. I'm just fighting. My instructor said, you know, you can beat him. I'm like, so I was kicking tail. I was in the center ring. Have you ever been in the center ring? Do you realize when you become a Christian, you get put right in the center ring? You might as well just draw a target on yourself. You say, tell me something exciting, Pastor. You're just discouraging me. You're getting me down. Who told you there was never a battle as a Christian? I'm not going to lie to you. Because when you get sucker punched as a Christian by the devil or trials, and then you're like, I thought this wasn't going to happen to me. No, we are in a battle. There's a war, but we win. Someone needed to tell me that. And once I found that out, I was like, okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of the first scriptures I memorized. No temptation has overtaken you, except what's common to man. So if you get smackered by the devil, that's common. If you go through temptation, that's common. But God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation, provide a way of escape. So there isn't any temptation that can take me out unless I fall to it. So I'm like, okay, I got that then. Then I can do this thing. Because we are not, you might think you're being overcome, but we're the overcomers. And whatever area that you're being overcome, God wants you to become the overcomer. And the Word of God has the answer to it all. It might not give you the direct answer, but it'll give you the wisdom you need to find the right answer. David used the word of God on Goliath. You say, he didn't quote the word. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. When we come into a battle, we need to come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jesus said, go in my name. You can't separate his name from his manifest presence. He came to him. He had all these battle and weapons, and David's like, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm going to do this. I'm going to da, da, da. Huh? Have you ever been there? Have you been there? Growing up, these people, they would talk a mile. I'm going to do this. Yo, mama, blah, 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 blah. You know, growing up, I mean, you ever see these guys want to fight? They want to tell you all about things. You don't talk about my mama. I grew up in Oceanside. I'm sorry, but that's where I grew up. It was tough. Saw a lot. Can I tell you something? You will get in a battle as a Christian, but you win. All I'm telling you is be encouraged, we win. And so the battles do come, but how do we prepare for the battle? See, and what a prophetic picture for us to see when David took out Goliath. David had 5 stones, number of grace, and he takes Goliath out with the stone. Some people say, well, the 5 stones were for his 4 brothers. Could it just be that God was sending us a message that it's by grace, it's grace weapons we war with? I don't know. But what a beautiful picture, because Jesus is the rock. And here's David, and Jesus came as the seed of David coming forth, and here's the rock coming forth from David and taking out the giant. I'm telling you, the word of God is in you. Because when you become born again, Christ comes in you, Emmanuel, God with you, God in you. And you can sling that word just like David slung, I guess. Whatever, that just sounds weird. But basically David chucked a rock at a giant. Took him out. Boom. But how do you approach your problems? How do you battle your greatest fears? How do you face your enemies? How do you rise above the normal? It's the word of God on our lips. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He believed. And we're singing the song, I believe in you. come on, do we believe? We got to get the word in us and let what we believe. And we're transformed by that word. We let that word soak in. We let that word change us. Because we're supposed to go. We all know the Great Commission is go. We have a conference, the Go Conference. But how many of you, sometimes your go says no? It's like, you know you're supposed to go, but you're like, no. You've been there. You're like, go. How about no, amigo? Come on. Let's be real. I mean, sometimes I'm there. I'm like, I done went. Enough. I've gone and gone and gone. There's no go in me. You go. Is there a Mikey on our missions team? Send Mikey up there. You know, somebody. You know, but like sometimes our go, it feel like your go is broken. And you know, it's like we're supposed to go every day. We go into the world. It's not just on a mission. This is a mission field we live in. And so how do we get our go on? How do we keep our go on? The word. We don't stray from his word. Psalms 119:20-21 says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Psalms 119 was brilliant. Psalms 119, I think they said it was Ezra. I think it's Ezra they attribute it to. Many think it's Ezra. I think it's David. Psalms 119 is brilliant. And if you look at Psalms 119, all of Psalms 119 is like an acrostic. And the whole Psalms 119 is broken into 22 different 8-verse stanzas. That's what they call it, a stanza. There's 22. Guess how many letters in the Hebrew alphabet? 22. What they did was they took it, because they go from left to right instead of right to left, and they put the first letter at the beginning of every one of those first 8 verses in the first verses of Psalms in Psalms 119. Those 8 are the first Hebrew letter, and then the next one, all the way to the last one on it. And so it's an acrostic using the whole 22, 8-verse stanzas of the Hebrew alphabet. Brilliant. It's a brilliant piece of work, and it's poetic. And sometimes we don't get it. It's sectioned into those 8 things. And those 8-verse stanzas, there's 22 8-verse stanzas in there, and guess how many words they use? I always get the synonyms, homonyms, cinnabons, with some coffee. How many of you, like, I'm tempting you right now? I'll have an espresso with cinnabons. what's the same, means the same, all the words have synonyms. That's even just as good. I'll have some cinnamon, dos de leche, some cinnamon. I'm messing you guys all up. They're like, oh, I'm done. I'm food. You got me on food. And the cinnamon. The synonyms. There's, guess how many synonyms in Psalms 119 that all pertain to the word, that talk about the word? 8. 8 sections, 22. Brilliant piece. Brilliant. So he uses these 8 different things that talk about the word of God. Incredible. It's an incredible psalm. And just, I read this one verse and I just got stuck on it for several days. I get up in the morning, Mike, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, this just is rocking me. In Psalms 119, I forget where it is. It's somewhere around 100. I think it's about 20 verses before or after. And he talks about that, how his eyes stream with water for those who don't know the word. When do we weep for the lost? When do we weep that the word is life? It's powerful. When do we weep for the lost to know the word? When do we, like, read the word and weep and stream with tears? And I was looking at this just thinking, this is just brilliant. It's beautiful. It's a masterpiece. It's wonderful. But there's a heart that's behind that whole thing. And I keep reading and reading and reading and reading and rereading and just absorbing it. And it's so powerful. I want that hunger for the word. But beyond that, I want the hunger that they're describing in that for the word. I want the hunger for the lost. I want a hunger for those who don't know Jesus. I want to weep for those nations that God's called me to reach. Can we say, well, God's called me to go to Korea, right? God's called me to go to Korea. That's on your heart. Can you weep for Korea? Can you weep for the Koreans who don't have the word? See, when you get to the point where your heart is so broken that you're just like, God, they need the word of God. It's like we need to have that kind of his heartbeat. God weeps for the Koreans who don't have it. You say, well, there was revival in Korea. Yeah, the spirit of mammon took them too. Mammon will shut revival down. They got prosperous. They started prospering. And then they wanted things more than the God who gave them the things. We need to, the heart needs to beat with his heartbeat. And then he says in Psalms 119:21, he says, they who stray from your commandments, we all can kind of stray from his commandments. We all can stray from the word of God. We can stray from the very thing that empowers us. Jesus said something. Jesus used the word of God on the devil. And he said something in Matthew chapter 4. He comes out of the desert. He's in the wilderness. And can you believe this? He's like, after 40 days, Jesus was tempted. After 40 days, he hungered. After 40 days, he hungered. How about after 40 minutes, some of you hunger? After 4 days, you're whining like a schoolgirl. I'm fasting. You know, I mean, 40 days. And then he's tempted by the devil, and then he comes out of the wilderness, but something happened when he was there. Something happened when the devil came to him. What did he use against the devil? You know, we wear these wristbands, and we say, what would Jesus do? And that's cool, awesome. But we don't have to guess what Jesus would do. We can read and know what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Not what did he do, what did he do? Let's do what he did. And I know that's what they're trying to say is, what would he do? Yeah, okay. But you get the word in you and you can go, I'm going to do like Jesus did. Right. Jesus used the word. And when the devil's tempting him, he answers and he says, it's written. We need to know what's written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You say, well, you know, my Bible, you know, I don't, you know, it just seems like it's just, you know, it's just, you know, this is old. I already have read it once. It's like, I didn't hear you saying, I had a coffee once, so I don't need it ever again. Or, you know, carne asada once, I don't need it anymore. We need food every day. We need the word. We need to hunger for the word and let it be inside of us. It's we don't live by all these things. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wow. If you stray from the word, you become self-centered. If you stay in the word, you become God-centered. The word of God keeps us God-centered. The word of God keeps us God-focused. The word, reading the word of God puts us back in those places if we start to stray off. We can't stray from the word. He told Joshua the key to success. We still have the same thing. If you'll take that word and meditate on it, meditate on it day and night, you'll have success. So number one, have you wandered from the word? Have you wandered? If you wandered, just go back to the word. It's right there. 66 counselors waiting for you every day. Oh, I need to get a personal trainer. There's 66 right here. With Teresa's Bible, all you have to do is just curl it. It weighs, I think, 5 pounds. This is mine, but hers weighs 5 pounds because when we pack luggage, I'm like, your Bible's coming in. You better pitch 5 pounds of clothes to be able to take that. It is. It's about 5 pounds. I'm like, really? Okay. 1/10 of her luggage is a Bible. Yeah. He says in verse 119:10-11, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandment. NIV says, do not let me stray from your commands. Anything worth doing is worth doing with 100% of your heart. When your heart's not in the game, it's like they're not going to win the game. Look at whoever's playing. Who's got their heart in the game? Get your heart in the game. You're in a relationship, get your whole heart into the relationship. You ever seen somebody, they're not even into what they're doing? Can I sell you this thing? It's like, you're not even convinced it's any good. Why would I want to buy it? Huh, really? Have you ever been taking a shower and it's like it's barely dripping? You're like, come on, I need hot water. Who stole the hot water? How about you? You're like all psyched that you're getting a cup of coffee and it's just tepid. And it's like, ugh, I was expecting this nice thing and it's just barely warm, you know? Or like We need the whole thing. God wants our whole heart in the game. And he tells us in Psalms 119:2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. God blesses those who seek him with all of their heart. In verse 34, Psalm 119:34, he said, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Just like a relationship. I've said this before. I've never done a wedding where it's like, yeah, okay, I commit half my heart to you. What do you think? It's like, loser. I want the whole thing. Or no. Hello? We can ask God. And the word of God is so powerful. Psalms 1, 2, and 3, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. We go through some seasons, but guess what? We win. So even if I'm down now, I'm going to win. The word of God will sustain us. We need to be sustained by the word of God. If you say, I'm having a tough time. I want to finish. And if we're going to finish, we need to have sustaining power. If you wake up and eat sugar, it's going to go high, low, burn out, and you're done. You eat some complex carbs, it'll sustain you through your morning and your day. We need the word of God will sustain us on this fight that we have. The word of God will strengthen us. And he says, I will meditate on your word, on your wondrous works, for my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word in Psalms 119:28. Strengthen me according to your word. The word, when you're stressed out, get more word. See, becoming a born-again Christian, it takes a moment of faith. Just a moment of faith. And yes, you can become a born-again Christian. But becoming Christ-like, it takes a lifetime. Becoming a born-again Christian, it takes just in a moment of faith. But becoming Christ-like takes a lifetime. I'm not stuck. I repeated it on purpose. I already read Matthew. Are you kidding me? He can take the logos and just breathe on it today. And then you read something and you're like, an aha moment in the word when you're like, oh, wow. That's when the logos becomes rhema and life comes into you. And you're like, I so needed that, God. And he said, I've been waiting to tell you that. I've been waiting to breathe on it. You just needed to have an open Bible instead of a closed book. I'm just telling you, we need to be those who love his word. If you want to walk in the spirit all day, we need to get some word. Huh? They talk about two dogs. Take two exact same junkyard dogs. Which one will win the fight? Which one are you feeding? Feed whatever one's strongest, the one you feed. You're going to go out in a battle? I need some food. I need the word of God. A man cannot live by bread alone. We need the word. If you feel like you've been losing the battle, it's like maybe we need to get a little more strength. Huh? We need more word. It's like milk with our chocolate cake. Want some chocolate cake? I want chocolate cake. Well, I like milk with our. I like milkshake with my chocolate cake. She's like, Mom's got me on her diet. It's not happening. Paul talked about the fight. And he talked about it in 1 Corinthians 9:26. He said, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body to bring it into subjection. You say it's too much discipline to read the word of God. You'll turn from discipline to delight when you see the fruit of the word of God. You have to get past the discipline part and you'll get the delight. If you never discipline, you'll never have the delight of the word. It's a discipline in the gym, but once you've been in there, then you'll get it. I remember even in martial arts, everybody's going to be a black belt when they start. 90% of people peace out before the first couple months. And the rest will peace out before they won't make it at 3 years of training, and 3 years is about what you need. How about as a Christian? Jesus took 3 years with disciples. We need at least 3 years of Jesus training to come to maturity. That's what I think. I think a believer needs at least 3 years of constant training. That doesn't mean after 3 years you're done. It just means that's when you can really function at a level as a disciple. But like I said, one moment you become a Christian. But how do we become Christ-like? Our whole life, we press towards that. Paul said it masterfully. He said, I've not obtained it already, but I press towards that upward call. I press towards that goal. I don't know what you're doing or not doing, but if your Bible's getting boring, get a new Bible. serious. We used to read a different version every year of the one-year Bible just so that we'd see different things. Brian Simmons has a beautiful translation called the Passion Translation. It just came out all the way on the New Testament. It finally got compiled. It came out this month. Go online and get the Passion Translation by Brian Simmons. Get that New Testament. He's got other books, but he compiled that one. Bill Johnson said it's his favorite translation. It's a powerful translation. Get something that stimulates you. Get something that gets your brain moving. Do something you didn't do before. Have you ever just gone a different way you haven't gone before? Have you ever done something? It's healthy for you to do something you didn't do before. I'm only studying the Anointed Version. I preach from the New King James, and I like that, but how about you stimulate that noodle? You have so much potential up there, and you just need to tap it. Number two, God's not dead. His word is alive. God's not dead. His word is alive. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp. And our mouths are like those power lines ready to be directed so we can release life at any point. He said, I will observe your word, Psalms 119, 17. Your word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. Verse 20, my heart is breaking with the longing that it has for your ordinances. We need to have that same hunger. Psalms 119, 107, renew and quicken me. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word, in the Amplified. So powerful. And the last one, we need to act on his word. Acting on his word. Number three, acting on his word. It needs to come alive. They're out in the water, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and they're all freaking out. Oh, it's a ghost. And then Peter says, if it's you, Lord, call me and I'll come out. And Jesus said, come. And he came out of the water and started walking on water. Like Miltari's coming here in a few weeks. He walked on the water, right? Peter starts walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he realizes he's walking on water. He's a fisherman. He's been on water. He's never walked on water before. I think he was so pumped and excited. He's like, I'll come to you. And then he realized, I am walking on water. And he got afraid, and then he sunk. When Jesus, if we listen to Jesus' word will take us into the supernatural realms and bypass our natural. We need to get Jesus' word. Jesus said, come, we come. We need to adjust our lives so that our doctrine is dictating our experiences, not our experiences dictating our doctrine. Or lack of experience dictating what we believe. I'm not going to do that because I've never seen it before. Jesus said we can do it, so we can do it. What if you pray for someone and they don't get healed? What if they do? And what if five don't, but one does? Can you handle five times being disappointed to have one that you said, I fulfilled the word? We need to be those people. And then when the devil says, see, you tried and it didn't work. It didn't work. It doesn't work. I'll be like, no, God said it, so I believe it, and that settles it. I'll figure out why it didn't work the other times, but it worked this time. How about we remember what did work? How about we turn around and say, no, my test will be a testimony. I'm going to declare what did work. And if it worked for someone else, if it worked for Jason, then I'm going to use Jason's testimony. Oh, no, God heals. He told me. God raised the dead. Because Jason raised the dead, then God raises the dead. Not just because I haven't raised the dead yet. We've seen blind eyes open. We've seen deaf ears open. We've seen all these crazy things happen. All these miracles, creative miracles, legs growing, toes, feet growing. Oh, awesome. Oh, awesome. Those are testimonies that I can reach into when you're afraid. When another miracle is in front of you and you go, I've got to pray for this one. And your fear taps in and says, God's not going to be with you. You can say, no, he was with me before. And you can start preparing an atmosphere. One time we're on a cruise ship and I started preparing an atmosphere. We're on a cruise ship. We're in a jacuzzi. I'm like, I'm going to talk about miracles. I'm going to talk about what God does. I started talking about miracles and gained some thing there. And then all of a sudden we prayed for the lady who's there. And she says, well, pray for me. I'm like, great. We got a prayer line in a jacuzzi. Prayed for her. She gets healed. And then Teresa gets a word of knowledge. She was abused. Finds out what age she was abused supernaturally. Tells her she gets sozoed in the hot tub. And then after she thanked us so much and her mom thanked us because that was the whole reason she was there is because she was blown away and couldn't shift her life and she gets a miracle and all that. Not at church, in a hot tub. How'd that happen? Because I just started sharing testimonies. I'm like, listen, seriously, guys, I'm bored in a hot tub, right? I can take hot water about so long that I'm like, my knees are in. Are you done, babe? I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It's like so long and then I'm done, but I'll hang out with you. Let's get someone healed. I'm just saying, you know, you can just release testimonies and watch that testimony release the spirit of prophecy, and before long, the prophetic starts moving, and you're moving in the prophetic. Just share it. Reach out there. And I've killed the atmosphere before when you say it, and they're like, and you're like, well, sorry, excuse me, whatever. I'm just saying, let the word of God be on your lips. And not just the word of God be on your lips, but testify where you've acted out the word and God's done great miracles. Testify of your testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. But his testimony, it's his new testament. It's his testimony. It's a new testament. Because of what he did on the cross and died, this is what we have. Testify of it. I think you got it. Stand up with me today. Father, thank you for your word. What a blessing. What an honor. I pray there's a new hunger. I pray that something goes off inside of you that just says, I just have to. Not because I have to, like I have to clean the garage, but like I just have to get to it like you want to get to lunch. Like that hot pizza cheese dripping off your lip as it comes out. Like that ice cold, you know, frappuccino. Like that burrito as you're eating the... like the avocado dip as you're... I'm just messing with you right now. But Father, I thank you, God, that we would pursue your word, that we don't live by carne asada alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We don't live by... Okay, I'll stop killing it here. But I think you got something, and I pray, God, you light them up. I pray there's a new hunger. I pray, God, that there's something that goes off. Because they're champions. They are children of the light. Would you just put two hands in the air? They are victors. You are conquerors. You, at the Olympics, when they stand as the victor with two hands raised, they are victor. They are victorious. You are the conquerors. You are that Nikeo. You are the victory. Nike, it means victory. It comes from the Greek word, and it means victory. And God chose to use it, and he said, you're conquerors. You're victors. You are victorious. You win. You win. You finish because of his victory. You are winners. You are children of light. Darkness cannot overcome you. It can knock you down, but it can't take you out. And Paul said it. He said, I've been knocked down, but I've not been knocked out. I'm going to get back up again. You are victorious. And I pray that word would continue to transform you, encourage you, and bless you in the name of Jesus. And I pray right now for that release all over this body. I pray where that limitations, where the devil's been trying to limit you and keep you out of the word, I pray it be released in your lives. I pray the word would come in whatever means, whether it's coming off your iPhones and droids. It's like, let it come. Let that word fill your car, fill your life. Let it be your meditation. Let God rock you with his word where you weep and you read his word. I thank you for the power that comes from it. And I thank you in your name. Amen. Hey, listen, we love you. There's a prayer team up here that's ready to pray for you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church. Thirsty land, you give up your mercy.